In John, the 6th chapter, Jesus is talking to the people, and he is explaining who he is. In the 28th verse, and he is trying to explain to them what God wants them to do. And they replied, "What does God want us to do?" And Jesus told them, "This is what God wants you to do. Believe in the one he has sent." And then down in verse 66, but before that, Jesus was talking about him bringing the bread of life. Their ancestors ate manna and they became hungry again. But he said, if you eat the bread of life, you'll never be hungry again. And he talked about certainly not them becoming cannibals, but he's talked about them eating his flesh and drinking his blood, which means his life had to be their own. He was declaring himself to be Adonai, Lord. He was calling for a commitment of his lordship. And in verse 66, it says, at this point, many of his disciples turned away, deserted him, never to walk with him again. Let's pray. Father, your word is full of living power. It's sharper than the sharpest knife, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes us, Lord, for who and what we are. May we be pure and holy and receptive. And when your word shines on us, may we be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, a living sacrifice. For the sake of your Son, for it's in his wonderful holy name we pray. Amen. It's quite a thing to see. My topic today is from takers to receivers to givers. It sounds like a good double play combination, doesn't it? Little ones at Christmas time, little children. If you've got a very large family, you know that their main thing is opening gifts. They really don't care much what's in them. And they tear open a gift and kind of look at it and then put it in their stack and come back for another one. Is that one for me? Whose name's on that one? Please give me one. And you can kind of excuse it because they're young. They're little kids. They don't know much better. But what about takers running around in adult bodies who never made the transition from takers to givers? We have become a nation of takers. This year, a political year, you're going to have a lot of things promised to you. You're going to see ads on television, and all you have to do is take it. You're going to be encouraged to be a taker, for you have some kind of a right to it, to whatever it is. Several years ago, Tommy and I were counseling a couple in our home that had been married for 8 months and they were getting ready to divorce. The wife didn't want it, the husband did. And we asked him, why did he want this divorce? And he said, well, I have learned in my life, whenever I'm not happy, I cut things off. I cut things off till I get happy again. She's not making me happy, I'm cutting her off. Now, my sweet bride always has a way of putting her finger right on the point. She said, I believe that was the most selfish, self-centered statement I've ever heard anybody make. And she was exactly right. I'm not condoning it, but this guy was lost. He didn't know Jesus. He'd been a taker all his life, and unless he changes, he always will be. But is that much different from a lot of Christian couples? Presently, friends, I am praying for 52 couples, most of them are Christians, whose marriages are in terrible trouble. I don't know the names, I don't want to know the names, but talking to some of your elders, a great part of their meeting is spent on praying for and trying to know how to help couples whose marriages are going down the sink. The more affluent the society, the more difficult it is to reach, the more difficult it is for it to repent, and easier to become self-centered, selfish, and self-reliant. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 20, Jesus began to denounce the cities where he had done most of his miracles because they hadn't turned from their sins and turned to God. "What horrors await you, Chorazin and Bethsaida? For if the miracles I did in you had been done in wicked Tyre and Sidon, their people will have sat in deep repentance long ago, clothed in sackcloth and throwing ashes on their heads to show their remorse. I assure you, Tyre and Sidon would be better off in that judgment day than you. And you people of Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you'll be brought down to the place of the dead. For if the miracles I did for you had been done in Sodom, it would be still be here today. I assure you, Sodom will be better off in the judgment day than you." And which nation in the history of this planet has God done more miracles in than the United States? None. Not even in Israel. I believe that our Declaration of Independence should be the Declaration of Dependence on God. And instead of ending in the right to right life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it should be the pursuit of godliness, which leads to life that leads to liberty. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now understand, there is a large difference between a receiver and a taker. A receiver knows that what he has, he hasn't earned, he doesn't deserve. And he has a constant attitude of gratitude. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, it says, "What makes you better than anyone else? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if all you have is from God, why boast though as though you have accomplished something on your own?" They believe that. They live that. God wants us to be a receiver. You have to be a receiver before you can be a giver. God wants us to be a channel of His love and His grace. I had a very wise old man tell me one time, he's with the Lord, "Nothing's really yours unless you're willing to share it." You have to be a receiver before you become a giver. And what about a taker? Takers only. I call them TOs. Christian TOs are people who have professed their faith in Christ but have never grown up. They have never gone beyond the mine mentality. How many of you parents taught your kids to say mine? How many taught your kids to say that? Not a one. Didn't teach them to lie either, did you? But there are people my age, not very many people older than me, but my age and younger, that have never gone beyond the mine mentality. That's mine. And as I was looking, and I'm going to tell you, this is a hard message. God gave me this in a quiet time, and I was convicted all over the place. So I'm not pointing to you, I'm pointing to me. As I look, some characteristics of TOs, takers only. Number one, appearances are very important to a taker. They appear to be giving when in reality they're taking. They can fool others, even themselves, but it's folly to think they can fool the master. Two, takers can always rationalize that it's good and right to be a taker, even that it's the will of God. Three, TOs never bear fruit for the kingdom. They appear to, but they're like that fig tree. Remember when Jesus was hungry and it wasn't even fig season? And he went to the fig tree and it all blossomed and bloomed out and he was hungry. He went to get a fig and there wasn't any on there. It was all performance, all promise and no performance. And he cursed that puppy and dried it up. Takers only are like that. A lot of promise, but no performance. Four, they miss out on the exceeding abundance that God wants to do in their lives, settling for peanuts when He desires to do so much more. They have an ungrateful spirit, or they wouldn't keep on taking and demanding more without giving. They're not a blessing or an encouragement to anyone, even themselves. TOs must have a terrible quiet time, or not even one at all. TOs can get easily angry at God because He doesn't keep coming with all that they want when they want it, not realizing that God doesn't want them addicted to His blessings at the expense of knowing and loving Him. 9, they often attend a church where preacher feel good tells them what they want to hear. And they're not convicted, they're not challenged or admonished when they're wrong. I don't know, it was when I was a young Christian, there was a deal came out, I'm okay, you're okay. Well, I want to tell you something, friends. If you don't have Jesus, you're not okay, and I'm not either if I don't have Him. And if I'm not walking with Him, if I haven't enjoyed and applying His Lordship in my life, I'm not okay. In fact, I'm to be pitied. So do you. TOs are dangerous in that they are constantly taking. They'll drain you dry. 11, they're hard to recognize because they're masters in putting on masks to conceal who and what they really are. You have to be very careful or they'll break your heart. TOs make terrible mates. Don't leave home with one. But if you're hooked up with one, stay hooked. Stay with the rigging and pray. You've made a commitment to God and to Him and to yourself. Stay hitched and pray. Tommy Sue married a taker. TO 13. When they start reaping what they have sown, they always blame others for their hurt, mostly God. 14, they're difficult, if not impossible, to help because they reject what they really need to help them. And lastly, realize the devil is the consummate taker. That's the reason that the cross so fooled Him. Because He never had a giving or a self-sacrificial thought in His life. That's why the cross took Him by surprise. He didn't dream that God Himself would be wounded in the battle of life. If Satan is the consummate taker, God is the consummate giver. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is talking and said, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. I'm going to let you be privy to, if I can find it. Tommy got me a brand new Bible for Christmas. It's a beautiful thing. It's still green broke. I haven't got it broke in yet. But I love it. But I was, like I said, I got these verses out of my quiet time. And the verse was, this is familiar to you 2-7 folks, right? Bible reading highlights. Started using them in 1980, still using them. They replied, you must show us miraculous signs if you want us to believe in you. What will you do for us? And I wrote, O Lord, how shaming it is to consider how many times since you formed man out of the ground and gave him life that he has demanded, what will you do for me? What greater gift have you presented than yourself, given with total love, grace, and forgiveness? Forgiveness, life, eternal and abundant, come with you as you enter a person's life, and even so much more. But we still say, before we let you save us, you must show us some miraculous sign. If faith is based solely on some miracle or some magic trick, then it's not faith at all. O Lord, both you and I know about my sin nature. Help me to be a giver rather than a taker. Help me to love you more than what you do for me. Don't let me fall into the trap of demanding anything of you, but being always eternally grateful for being your child when I'm so unworthy. And then the next day, At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him, never to walk with him again. And I wrote, O Lord, whenever commitment is involved, when giving instead of taking is commanded, when being willing to pay the price is called for, and a trust in you that puts self down in a much lower status and puts the old sin nature, the old man, to death, many leave you, never to walk with you again. As long as it's fun and games and you continually give, people respond, at least most do. But as soon as you call for commitment, they desert. They reason, keep giving, but don't presume to tell me what to do. What do you mean that I have to reap what I sow? Be my Savior, but I demand to control my own life and be Lord over it. If one puts their faith and trust in Christ only for the gifts and blessings, what will they do when tribulation overtakes them? It's not what I want that's vital and important, Lord, but what you want and will. You love me too much to let me have my own way. And I responded back to John 3:16, for Mike so loved God that he gave over to God all that he knew of himself, which is God's anyway, so that he might always have an attitude of gratitude and move from a taker to a giver. We're going to get out early. Breaks your heart, doesn't it? Mickey said, I always like it when you preach, Dad, because I know we're going to get out early. We're not through yet. How to move from a taker to a giver, to a receiver to a giver. First of all, you have to be born again. You have to put your faith and trust in Christ. And you do that by, number one, admitting that you're a sinner. Sinner means to miss the mark, shooting at a target and you miss it. Then you have to believe that that's why Christ came and died on that cross, that he did it for you, to pay the penalty, to reconcile you to God. Then you have to be willing to repent, and that means to have a change of mind, to turn, be willing to turn from that old life and put your faith and trust in the new life that God wants to give you. And then by faith, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's it. You can do that right where you sit. That's the first step. Now, if you are a Christian and you haven't made that transition, you first of all, you have to confess it. God knows it. Confession means to agree with Him. That has to be done before He can move you where He wants you to be. You have to admit to yourself that you're entitled to nothing. God doesn't owe you a thing. He doesn't owe me a thing. What more can God do for us than He's already done that He's doing? He'll give you an attitude of gratitude. And it's imperative also that you spend time with Him. The more time you spend with Him, the more you're going to love Him. Then the more you're going to trust Him. Then the more you're going to desire to have a giving heart. And ask God to move you from being a TO to a receiver and a giver. It gives us some practical steps on how to be a receiver in Romans chapter 12. We won't read that, but when you get time at home, read that. That gives you some practical steps. Of all the gifts and talents, God has given every one of His kids gifts. And He intends you to use them to bring glory to Him and to help people come to know Him. And it's all a giving thing. It's fun to try to outgive God. You can't, but it's fun to try. Like my bride, I try to outgive Tommy. I can't do it. I try to do it. I can't do it. You want to know the heart of a in Romans chapter 9. This comes from the heart of a giver. It's Paul. Beginning with verse 1, in the presence of Christ I speak with utter truthfulness. I do not lie. And my conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm that what I am saying is true. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters, listen to this. I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. I haven't reached that point yet, beloved. That's what I'm striving for. And he says, on behalf of Christ, in the presence of Christ, I'm not lying. If my people could be saved, I'd be willing to be cut off from Christ. That's the heart of a giver. Let's pray. Father, we confess that you're the ultimate example of a giver. For you gave your only Son on our behalf. We can never know how much that hurt you or cost you. And we acknowledge that the only way we can move from a taker to a receiver to a giver is by your example, motivation, and your equipping. Help us to have a Calvary in our hearts today. But the first step is to put our faith and trust in Christ to save us and declare a record of all sin. If there be any here that have not done that today, now's the time. Lord, open their eyes. Turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to you, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them, which are sanctified by faith, which is in Christ. For we ask it in his name. Amen. One thing I skipped over. They ask a leading theologian, what do you consider our world situation? The situation in our world today. He said the world hadn't changed. It's always been hostile to the gospel. It's been anti-God. It's been an enemy of Christ all along. The biggest change I've seen is in the church of Jesus Christ, in that it has conformed to the world system that you can't tell the difference. Dick Halverson said, if you want to conquer a nation, the best way to do it is to make it rich. Beloved, thank you. We just pray that the Word of God would do that He intends. Anything of the flesh, you'll soon forget. That's the way it ought to be. But that of the Spirit, let's take it and apply it. Thank you very much.